This is Radharasthira Nidhi, verse 166, continuing where we left off yesterday. Alindeka lindi tatanava lata mandiragate ratamardudbhutta shramajalabhara purnavapusha sukasparshen Anmilita nayana yoshita matalam kadakuryam samvijana mahaha radha muravido. So translation of this verse, it's in Vrindavan, on the banks of the Yamuna, a beautiful kunja, and Manjari is there. Translation, Radha and Krishna. When can I fan Radha Murari, Radha and Krishna? When? When they are covered in perspiration due to their exuberant amorous play. I will fan the divine couple in such a way that they close their eyes while enjoying the cool breeze as they relax on the terrace outside the cottage of creepers besides the Yamuna. So that is the setting which we described yesterday in line 1. Alinde kalindi. Alinde kalindi tata navalata. Alinde kalindi tata navalata mandira gate. Ngate. The divine couple have, as a review, divine couple have gone to the Yamuna and they entered a beautiful kunja there, made of Madhavi creepers, the walls and canopy of the ceiling. And they enjoyed their intimacies, and afterwards they were refreshing themselves outside on the terrace, Alinde. And then the Manjari is rendering various services, which we'll hear about. So yesterday we discussed, just a small review, just the principle of how to meditate and think about and enter the pastimes that are depicted in individual verses of shastras describing Radha and Krishna's pastimes. How we think of where is it, who is there, am I there alone with other sakis and mandris, or am I, are there many there, and what is the seva required, where is it, who, what, when, these things. So in the second line it says, Ratam Ord Bhuta Shrama Jala Bharapurna Vapusha, which means their vapu, their entire body, Purna Vapusha, their entire body is Bhara. Bhara is a Hindi word also. Bharapurna Vapusha, their entire bodies are densely covered with Shrama Jala. Jala means, it's an interesting way they say, sweat drops in Sanskrit. Jala means water. And shrama means exhaustion. We have that verse, shrama eva hi kevalam, that what people are doing, the materialist, their activities, shrama eva hi kevalam, simply only exhausting themselves. They're working so hard, and for what? What do they get at the end? Another, they die and take another birth. No chance of liberation or even promotion for most people. Shrama eva hi kevalam. It's a verse like that, one line. Shrama, they're just fatigued and tired. So divine couple, there's Ratam Ord Udbhuta. Ratam Arda, rati means intimacies or loving exchanges. So they've concluded that, and now they're sitting on the veranda. So in line 2, we find out, first line 1 was where is this Leela taking place? Where is the Leela taking place and what is the circumstance? And then line 2, we hear that it's the divine couple and what is their condition? And every condition, every situation, Radha and Krishna require a specific service for their pleasure and satisfaction. So the mandris and sakis mandris are very attuned to the need of the moment and very absorbed in the feelings of Radha and Krishna, especially Radharani, what she needs and feels and wants at that particular time in order to please Krishna. with the assistance of her sakis and mandris, who of course nourish the pastimes. That's told by Krishna's Kaviraj in Adi Lila chapter 4. He says that the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, they're complete in themselves, Purna, Purnatam, Purna Lila. But with the addition of all the thousands and thousands of sakis and mandris, they serve to nourish and increase and enhance the pastimes, make them more pleasurable, more satisfying. For example, husband and wife could get together and say, let's have a party. And they could have some type of party, but there's only two. But if you have some close friends, most people don't have too many, but if you have some close friends, three or four couples, six or eight devotees, couples get together, then they can have a Krishna conscious party, chanting and dancing and feasting and philosophizing and arguing and debating and whatnot, whatever they'll do. Or even just sporting or going somewhere. We're living beings, we have a variety of activities. They say that the Vaishnava sports are swimming and wrestling. I don't know how much wrestling goes on these days, but when we first joined, Mayapur was the International ISKCON Mayapur Vrindavan Wrestling Festival. All the devotees, 1974-75, Germany versus America. We had our own devotee Olympics on the banks of the Ganga, a wrestling competition. Even sannyasis took part because things were not so uptight then. Nobody was a guru, nobody was artificial. Everybody was just das, 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 das. And Prabhupada was only the one guru. So the sannyasis were wrestling with the brahmacharis. And now it's like, I'm the guru, don't touch. And then they would get pinned also by the brahmacharis. Boom. So those were good old days, no doubt. As Prabhupada said, those were happy days on Second Avenue. I must admit that the early 70s with Prabhupada Sangha, Prabhupada Kesat, that was very happy days, no doubt, for Prabhupada disciples. Really nice, sweet days to remember. And look forward to in the future in the Goloka, all be together again. So now the stars of the drama are introduced and they're coming in like a bang. Here they are. They're totally fatigued and worn out from a long enduring loving exchanges, and the relaxing the fresh air outside the Kunja on the banks of the Yamuna. It's very nice there. When we lived there in Sevakunj, we used to go to Loy Bazaar, to the sabji market behind Loy Bazaar, and buy sabji to cook for Prabhupada every day. And it would be quite warm there. And as you walk down the street past Shamsundar Mandir towards Damodar, it would get cooler and cooler. And when you go to the banks of the Yamuna, or out on the Yamuna, out where the Yamuna was flowing, it's very nice. It was like another Vrindavan. And Loy Bazaar side, and that's the big city, Main Street, it would be like, let's say, comparatively, 35 degrees. It's like a typical spring day in Vrindavan. And they go to the bank of the Yamuna, it'd be about 26, 24, 10 degrees, 12 degrees difference because of the Yamuna, Kalindi, and some breezes and some open area, no big buildings, absorbing all the cement roads, absorbing all the sunshine. So the banks of the Yamuna are very refreshing. Now, I don't know, I don't even want to hear about it, but I've been here since 12, 13 years, 14 years. I don't know what happened to the Yamuna. I think Yamuna went on strike. There's no more banks even. There's no more banks, what to speak of Yamuna. They've gone crazy over there in Kashigarh or something. Have you seen? Some bulldozers and I don't know, some crazy plan. I heard I saw something on net, looks pretty dismal and Kali-ish, Kali Yuga-ish. At any rate, so here we are, this is the introduction of the stars of the divine drama, Radha Govindaji and their Divya Leela. And in other words, who's present there? In terms of technicalities, this is called the alamban. There's five factors of ras. Of course, these are technical for us. Until we're at the level of bhava bhakti, we can't really taste ras in a true sense of bhava and prema. But we can. It's called ras appreciation. One person is an artist, and another person has studied art appreciation in college or whatever. So then when he looks at artwork, he can appreciate the technique, the bhav, the talent, the planning, the lighting, and all the things that the artist has incorporated in his good painting, because you have the eye to see. So similarly, we study the shastras, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and Ujjvala Nilamani, although the discussions therein seem like light years away from our own reality. What is our consciousness? What is our perception? What is our purity and level of attachment for Radha and Krishna? Admittedly, it's minuscule, no doubt. We're all struggling, neophytes on the path of prema. That's understood. That was understood by Rupa Goswami also. He didn't write the book for genius premi bhaktas. He wrote the book. The books are written for us. They're textbooks. Prabhupada gave us part one, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And Bhano Swami is giving us part two. And there are other translations also. If you're fortunate, you may come across them. Ujjvala Nilamani. And you can study and have some understanding of the rasa tattva and the ideas and the holy dynamics of ras and the drama of Radha and Krishna's spiritual pastimes, which is very much parallel to movies or plays or dramas. There's characters, there's players, there's a stage, there's action, there's pathos and emotion, happiness and sadness and laughing and intimacies and fight scenes and all kinds of things in Krishna's Leela, just like a movie or drama. But it's transcendental. It's called Divya Leela. And that's our goal. That's our param gati. What is our goal? To become a vacuum? To become a particle of light? Our goal is to become a das. Das or dasi in the spiritual world. Mostly in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, what we've read about, what we've seen and what we've met, is everyone is in dasi bhav, a servant of Radharani and Krishna. So everyone will have their personal place there and personal position. So we should understand something. So here, this one aspect of the five bhavas that combine together to form rasa, one is the stai bhav, stahi rati, or stai bhav. What is my permanent loving mood and relationship towards Krishna? How do I perceive Krishna? How do I see him? How do I feel towards him? How do I relate to him in terms of what's manifested as a natural rag, as a natural attraction and attachment is manifested in my heart? At some point, at some time, in some life, such a phenomenon will occur where we'll feel that I really feel it and I desire it to the extent that I'm greedy for it. I want this. I like this. I have this kinship ruchi, as bhakti in the Bhakti Sandarbha, when Sri Jiva Goswami Pada is describing about Raghunuga Bhakti and the eligibility for Raghunuga Bhakti, when it begins and how it begins. He says, kincha ruchi. So kincha means, as you know, a little bit. You have a little bit of taste and attraction for these things, for these subjects, for these loving exchanges in one of the particular ratis, most specifically is Kamarup Raghunuga Bhakti of the Madhura Rati, the Sakis and Mandris, which is what is most written about and described and followed by the Gaudiya Sampradaya. Then that's the starting point, that's the foundation, kincha, just slight interest. That's rare. Very few. You take 1,000 devotees today, maybe one at best is a Raghunugiya Bhakta. Hardly. It's not a mass movement by any means. So the different, there's different, I was thinking today, what's the difference between, one difference between life in Radhakund and life in ISKCON as a single man. Like if you come here as a single man in Radhakund and you want to live here and serve here, if you become initiated here with this, in the society of the, what they call the Babaji Panchayat, they will give you a free room and give you food for your life. And so you get room and food, and what is your service? You're supposed to study books and realize the teachings and become a Premi Bhakta and realize your Siddha Deha and enter the Leela to serve Radha and Krishna. So now I thought about ISKCON. If I joined as a brahmachari, then sannyas. Same thing. They give you a free room. They give you free food. But they don't tell you that your service is to study the books and to realize the books. They tell you your service is to sell the books and distribute the books. And even there, even when Prabhupada was here, the very author of the books which we worship and adore and distribute and study and shape our lives by, he was saying, there was a meeting in L.A., I was there. He said, so Prabhupada, we did so much book distribution, we did this and that and that. That's very nice. Are you reading the books? I've written these books for you. Are you reading them? Oh, Prabhupada, we don't have time. You know? The books are coming out so fast and we're passing them out. So obviously the books are textbooks and Prabhupada is the original teacher of the educational institution known as ISKCON. As Prabhupada said, he set it up as what he called an educational and cultural movement. And so here it's the same thing. Here you get a room, you get a free room. And if you get out of line, then they bounce you out of your kutir. They have their own. If you're out of line, means that you're fooling around with the sevadasis or whatever females, and they out. You're out. They take your kutir away, and you're. So it's very strict over here also, like ISKCON. So that's one interesting thing. Here they get free, the brahmachari gets free room, free food. Now, what's my seva? Chant a lakh a day, study the books as much as possible, come to the classes, and become pure. So that's what they do. So I thought it's so similar. It's just a small, everything's the same. We get a free room in the brahmacharis. Grihastha is a different thing. But like we get free room, free food, then we have to do something. Sell the books. So it'd be nice at a certain point you sell the books, and I say, okay, you sell the books now study the books and spend your time there. That is a side point. So this is the, this aspect is called vibhav. There's Vibhav, Anubhav, Sattvic Bhav, Stahi Bhav. Stahi Bhav is my fixed relationship. Do I want to love Krishna in the mood of conjugal love, or in the mood of a friend, or the mood of a parent, or mother, father, or the mood of a das, a servant? What is my mood? What is my feeling? What is my bhav? What is my stahi? Stahi means fixed, unchangeable, unshakable. It's natural, it's svabhavika, it has just arisen in my heart. How it's arisen? How it arises? From previous life, kripa. From Krishna and Guru, or this life creeper from Krishna and Guru, it arises. It's not, oh yeah, everyone's talking about Raghunuga Bhakti. I went on the net, there's so many sites about Raghunuga. What is Raghunuga Bhakti? I typed on that Google. What is Raghunuga Bhakti? Then you read and find out secretly in the somewhere no one's seeing. You know, and you're collecting all this interesting information, and you keep it very quiet. Don't tell anybody. And then you find out something. It all starts with greed, and you say, "I don't have." And you say, "I don't have any of this." Okay, close the chapter. Go out and sell some books. I mean, you have to be real. Honesty is required everywhere. Satyam. What is me? The real you will seek its destiny. It will be forced to. You'll be guided. You'll be pushed. You'll be directed. What we think is free is actually Krishna's play. We think it's free will, but it's his play. It's his leela. Somehow, so then we find out there's something called sthayi rati or sthayi bhav. That's fixed. I want to love Krishna. I want to love Radharani and serve Radha and Krishna in the mood of Radha's dasi, Manjari. This is in essence what is Raghunatha Bhakti, as we know it from the six Goswamis. Of course, there's exceptions everywhere, but very hard pressed to find support in any of our shastras. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Gopi Bhava Angikara. I want everyone to accept Gopi Bhava Angikara, accept Gopi Bhava. And it's clear, the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita is only pointing towards Madhurya Ras. Lord Chaitanya's experience of it, and all the Goswamis. There may be some campaign now, a modern campaign, and a lot of publicity maybe in certain quarters for Sakya Ras. Well and good, that's also possible, no doubt. That's part and parcel of Raghunatha Bhakti. But any objective observation, there's a big gap here. Everyone's afraid to come close. Don't go there. If anyone goes there, they'll get lost. They'll fall into a pool of ras. Rasa Radhe Patita. Rasa Radhe, Radhe. Radhe means Kaliya Rad. If you go there, you'll get lost. You'll come up with a nose ring and a nose ring and earrings and you'll be 12 years old and you look so cute and you'll just be saying, oh, Radharani, Radharani. Danger. Savadan. Watch out. So this is, everything is pointing us in that direction. The six Goswamis are all Manjaris. Naratsan Manjari. Everyone's a Manjari, so if you want to be a coward boy, you're really the odd one out. But if that's your actual ruchi and your rag, that's also real. That's also rag. That's also Raghunatha Bhakti. And you'll find the ways and the means somehow, somewhere to cultivate, and Krishna will reveal in your heart. That's in the 11th canto of Chaitya Vapu. Acharya, 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 Chaitya Vapusha. That those that are treading the path of Bhakti Bhajan, especially Raghunatha Bhakti, they're enlightened and guided and inspired and by the Guru, by the Acharya, the living Guru, the Diksha Shiksha Guru. And they're also inspired by the Nitya Guru within the heart, the Chaitya Guru, Antaryami, God inside, but not lost. Not for us, we're all devotees. He's speaking to us because we surrendered to all of us. And we interpret in our own way. So your interest in Radha and Krishna, is that kalpana? Is that imagination? Is it a dream? Is it whatever it is, it's your great fortune. If you're interested in Radha and Krishna and worshipping them and loving them, and even in, that's great. Then if it's even more specific and in terms of Manjari Bhava or Gopi Bhava, that's even better. And that's your wealth, that somehow that wealth has appeared in your mind and heart. And it's genuine. So don't let anybody dissuade you or discourage you. If they do, then just be quiet and privately practice. Because you know it's you. Somehow it's come inside of you. And you can't stop it. Rag means attachment, which means love. You can't stop the flow of love. So many marriages have happened that are socially unacceptable, economically unacceptable, family-wise, unacceptable to all parties except the lovers. The lovers are in love. One person is a Hindu Brahmin, the other person is a Muslim, Shudra. That's socially not acceptable. Families won't accept it. It's adharmic. It's everything wrong. And they want to stop it in every way they can, by tantrics, by this, by that, by intimidation, by fear, every way they want to stop this marriage. Will they stop it? No. Because there's nothing that can stop a tidal wave, and there's nothing can stop genuine rag. When rag awakens in the heart, that lobha, that greed, no rules, no regulations, nothing can stop. You see the story of Bilvamangala Thakur. Bilvamangala Thakur, he wrote this Krishna Karnamurtam and Govinda Damodar Stotram, which is so popular. Govinda Damo Dharamaraveti, Govinda Damo Dharamaraveti. And many, many shlokas. about all the rasic relationships of Yashoda and Krishna and Draupadi and Vasudeva, Krishna, and the gopis and Krishna. Many, many beautiful shlokas. You must be knowing this prayer. Govinda Damo Dara Madhaviti. So he wrote this Krishna Karanamritam, Bilvamangala Thakur. One day in South India, he was sitting in the Shraddh ceremony of his mother, a deceased father. Shraddh means the pinda, the yearly pujas and rituals that one does on behalf of their departed ancestors. He's sitting there and the priests are saying swaha, and they're doing swaha, doing this yajna. But the problem was that Bilvamangala Thakur, his mind was preoccupied with one prostitute named Chintamani. So the priest is saying, he's asking him, so he's saying, so it's so-and-so paksha and so-and-so stan, what apka gotra kya hai? What is your gotra? He's supposed to say the name of his gotra. During this initial pujas and rites, they will identify, oh, it's Shukla Paksha, this is the time of day, this is the place, Radhakund May, Brajmandal May, Radhakund May, Kartik Maina May, there's Amavasya Titi, Avka Gotra, what is your family line, what is your dynasty? So what did he say when the Brahmin said, he said, Chintamani, I mean Kashyap Gotra. He's supposed to be in a Gotra Kashyap Muni, and the Brahmin said, what is your Gotra? He was thinking, in other words, his body was there, his mind was elsewhere, just like you're in class and your mind is with your kids or whatever, who knows what. I know, it's okay, that's the way the mind goes, you know. At least your body's collecting some good vibrations. We're human beings, Chanchali Manakrishna. As Arjuna is telling, it's confessing on behalf of all of us. Krishna, listen, you created us. I'm your creation, my dear Krishna. But what did you create? You created a pagoman. He's saying, Gita, Chanchala Himana Krishna Pramati Balavadridam. He said, you created me, and you created this mind, and now you want me to make up my mind, but I'm crazy. I want to be a sannyasi. No, kshatriya. No, sannyasi. No, kshatriya. No, run away. No, fight. No, run away. Fight. Drop the bow. Pick up the bow. Drop the bow. Pick up the bow. So you made me Chanchala Himana Krishna. Krishna, you gave me the Chanchala Mana. And what is it like? You don't know. Your mind, you're not crazy. You're not crazy about Radharani. You can control your mind when you see Radharani. No. Venokarani Patita Shikandam Skalitam Shikandam Skalitam Shikandam Brashtam Pitavasam Brashtam Pitavasam Brajasuno. You can't control your mind either, because it's Balavad, it's very strong. Pramati, it's very mad. And Dridam, it's very determined and relentless. So Krishna, he can't control his mind either. Veno Karani Patita. Skalitam Shikandam. This is from Radhara Sudaniti, last Kartik, where it's describing the Prabhava, the effect of Radharani. Radharani says, and who? What Radharani? Radharani had arrows, some kind of arrows. Said Radha Kripa. It says Radha Kataksha Sara Gata Vimorchitasya. Radha Kataksha Gata Riddhi Morchitasya. Radharani, she simply released a corner of her glance. Kataksha Sara like is like. It's an arrow. The arrow, the corner of her glance, she released it. And it hit Brajasuno. It hit Krishna, the son of Brajendra, king of Braj. And then it says, Gata Riddhi Murchitasya. It hit his heart and he Murchitasya. He fainted. But before Krishna fainted, what happened? Venu Karan Nipatitas Skalitam Shikandam Brashtam Pitavasanam Brashtam Pitavasanam. You want to hear something amazing. Because Krishna is telling Arjuna to control his mind. And Krishna is saying, well, what about you? And Radharas Sudaniti, when Radharani looks at you with a sidelong glance, Venu Karan Nipatita. Your Venu, your flute, Karan, fall. Nipatita, like Patit, Patita Pava. Nipatita, it falls from your hand. Dung. Then, Skalitam Shikandam. Your more mukut slides off your head. Falls off your head. Then Brashtam. You heard of yoga brashta? In the sixth chapter of Gita, it talks about what happens to the yogi who breaks his sadhana. He falls in Suchinam Shimatam Gehe Yoga Brashti Vijayate. Suchinam Shimatam Gehe Yoga Brashti Vijayate. So Brashta means he breaks his yoga practice, his sadhana bhakti, his drida vrat. So then he gets another birth. He doesn't get siddhi. Brashta. So Brashtam is here. Brashtam Pitavasanam Brajasuno. He says, your flute, this is Prabhupada Saraswati, he's telling Radharasuna, Radharani glances at you, and you're, talk about Chanchala Himana Krishna, your mind, Krishna, is really Chanchala then. I have some Chanchala on the battlefield because I see some serious soldiers there, Duryodhan, and Bhishma, and Dronacharya, and they can power some mean arrows. And if those arrows hit me, I may, Haribo. Vaikuntha Prapti. So he had some serious arrows to worry about. But Krishna, what about these arrows? Kataksha, Shri Radha Kataksha Shara. Shara Gata. Gata means strikes. Shara means arrow. The Radharani's arrow, Radharani's corner, the corner of her glance, it strikes. And Gata, it strikes your riddhi. Gata riddhi, murchitasya. It strikes your heart, and then Krishna faints. But first he's playing his flute. Oh, drops his flute. And then when you start trembling, it's very hard to keep something on your head, So then his shikandam skalitam, it sounds like skittle scattle, from America we say skittle scattle or scattle, skidoo. Skalitam shikandam, his peacock feather crown slides off his head. And then brashtam pitavasanam, pitambara shamsundar. He wears a yellow dhoti, and brashta means he drops his dhoti. His dhoti falls off. This is Bhagavan. Now this is Naralila. This is very sweet. If you read this to somebody from Madhva Sampradaya or Ramanandi Sampradaya, you're worshipping this Bhagavan? No, we're actually worshipping this Radharani. And this is what she does to this Bhagavan, according to Tungavidyasakhi. Tungavidyasakhi is standing right there with Radharani on her side. And that's Prabhupada Saraswati. He's writing in Sanskrit 500 years ago what he saw in his Leela Dristi, Leela Pravesh. This is very... We gave this class last Karti. Venu, it's really stuck on me. Such an amazing scene. This is Krishna. He steals butter and yogurt. He steals gopis' clothes. He lies. He cheats. He does everything. He holds on to the tails of calves when he's a baby and they drag him through the... cow dung and urine, and all the gopis laugh at him and clap their hands. And he gets up, he's all covered with dung, and his mother says, oh, what a fright. What a horrible fright. You come here, let me wash your face. Puts on new diapers and everything. Whatever. Whatever you wear. He doesn't wear anything, he just wears a string of bells. That's the same thing. You see now, if you live in a village, that the babies today, they dress the same way Krishna did in Gokul Leela. Krishna wore a black string around his waist and a little shirt on his top in the winter time and nothing on the bottom, because that makes it easy to download your files, When you have to download your files, there's no problem with internet, I mean inter-diaper, whatever you call it, interceptor diaper, whatever. So I see the village kids are running around a little t-shirt, and if it's really cold, they wear a topi, but the little bottom is sticking out of their t-shirt. It's so cute. I look at that. This is Udipan. This is a stimulant. They're exciting to think of Krishna. In Braj Mandal, there's even there's one Utsav that's written on the Hindi calendar for all of Braj Mandal. Braj Mandal, they call it Panchangam. And it's right after, it's something like 7 days after Janmasthiri, and it's called something like, what's it called? Like Chichu. It's called Chichi. I think it's called Chichi Mahotsav. Something like Chichi, something, I forget. It's written right in Hindi, in the calendar, it's printed in Delhi. It's called Chichi Mahotsav. So I asked Mohan Panda, one Brahmin from the Radhakund, the Brahmin, I said, what is this Chichi Mahotsav? I mean, I have so many festivals. They have Dampati Brata, that's what we call Bahulastami. I call it, it's in Hindi, it's called Dampati. Dampatni Brat. That means husband and wife. They tie their dhotis and saris together, and they get these pumpkins, and there's a whole ritual in order to get a baby, and they worship a Hori Devi, and in Radhakund there's a whole ritual they do for that, and that's mostly what everyone's doing here, except we're bathing at midnight, praying for mercy of Radharani and Krishna praying, and they're praying for the mercy of Radharani, one little baby for my wife, and it's a different idea, but the same ishta. So all these kind of utsavs are there, and living here since 30 years, I have some idea what they are. I'm very curious about Braj culture, because today's Braj culture was that Braj culture. Most of it is paralleling and reflecting that. Those few Brajvasis that still observe the ancient rituals, like Shanji during Ashwin Purnima, Ashwin Maina, which precedes Kartik, what we call, say, September, October. Ashwin, Krishna Paksha is when you do Pitri Paksha. You worship the ancestors every day for 14 days, food on the roof for the crows to eat, and then outside your house you do Shanji. Shanji, you paint some very basic figures of gods and goddesses and put flower petals. And Radharani is doing this. There's a whole Leela you can read in some of the pastime books, the Shanji festival, where Krishna disguised himself as a gopi and he picked flowers to help Radharani. And Radharani was detained in Kusum Sarovar, and she was late getting back because she met Krishna. And she wanted to do her Shanji before sunset, because you have to do outside your boundary wall of your entrance to your house. You paint, you must have seen the village, Shanji or whatever it's called, something like that. Shanji Utsav. So like this, Radharani was doing, and today they're still doing on this street, I see. It's so beautiful. So much amazing. So Chichi, what is a Chichi Utsav? A few days after Janmashtami. That's Chichi. And when I asked him, I said, what's Chichi? He started laughing like a little boy. He was 40-year-old, whatever. Your old Brahmin, Mohan Panda, he started laughing. I said, what? He said, no, you don't want to know this. It's our Braj culture, you know. I said, but your Braj culture is a culture of Radha and Krishna. I want to enter Braj. I'm praying birth after birth. Let me take birth here in Braj and Radhakund. This is Janmantar. Birth after birth. I'm only hankering for that. And the seva of Radharani and Radhakund. That'd be my greatest cherished perfection. Birth after birth. So he said, you don't need to know. I said, no, please, I want to know. I'm very curious. I want all these things to come inside of me and become my chitta. So he said, actually, after Krishna was born, and this Chichi Mahotsav is the washing the diapers. Mother Yashoda went to Potrakund, because when you go to Mathura, you go to the Janmasthan, what they call Birla's Janmasthan, built by Birla in 1945 or so. But behind that is what is called the original Janmasthan area. There was a big, of course, the palace or whatever over there. And whatever was there, Kansa's palace, whatever. But Krishna was born there, and it's called Potrakund, P-O-T-R-A. You can see any Parikrama book, Potrakund in English. And that's the kund where Devaki or Yashoda, I don't know, however they tell the story. It depends on what their angle is. But Devaki or Yashoda washed Krishna's diapers. Washed his stool and everything from him. So Chichi, actually in Hindi, Chichi means like ganda, means like dirty, you know, dirty. So it's a whole yearly festival where they go to Potrakund and they take some old diapers and they wash. They enact the festivals, like they do in Barsana for the Danda festival, and they have Dan Leela. Some devotees have gone to Sankari Kor in Barsana, where the mountains come very close together there, going by on your way towards Mork. I think you've been to Barsana, right? Everyone knows Barsana. On the Prikamarga Barsana, you're going towards Morkutir and Mankutir. Then you come through Sankari Kor. So the gopas went out, they stopped. That's where there was Dan Leela. You must be hearing when you go on Brikama, they tell you. Dinabandhu or myself, I took so many grooves. So they say, oh, they were pushing back and forth here, and you see on the rocks there's little white drops where the milk and yogurt spilled, and the rocks caught those drops, and they held them like great treasures inside their hearts, and we can see them today on the surface of the rocks, little drops of yogurt and milk from that tussle and struggle with the coward boys and gopis. So every year, on that particular day, all the Nandagram Vasis the men, the Brahmins dress up as gopas, then the gopis come from Barsana, they dress up and they enact this pastime. Have you seen? Anyone seen? No. Anyway. There's so many wonderful pastimes, and this is Braj, and this is all part of the culture. So when you live here, you come to know and even take part in some of that. You've heard of Holi? Have you taken part in Holi Leela? That's one. I mean, remember, every day is an utsav. You ever read Brahma Samhita? Every step is a dance. You must have heard this. Every step is a dance. Every word is a song of poetry, and the water is like nectar. So every day is an utsav, festival. So here they are in line two. Ratamor Bhutas Shramajala Parapurna Vapusha. The divine couple are there. They're totally shrama. They're fatigued. They're tired. And this is basically, you're there. This is what he's projecting. You're not just an observer, but you're also there. And you're going to render these various services. So who's there? You, the observer, the servant, the dasi, the participant, the kinkari mandri of Radharani. And what's the condition of Radha and Krishna? They're exhausted, they're fatigued, they're relaxing and refreshing themselves on the terrace of the veranda. Navalata Mandira. Navalata Mandira. This beautiful mandir, they call it a mandir. It's made of creepers, the walls of creepers, and all flowering, fragrant flowers, very wonderful atmosphere. We try to make natural atmosphere in our apartments by burning incense or essential oils with a candle or whatever. But it's all imitation of what's really going on in the dynamic world of reality in Goloka Vrindavan. The real fragrance, the real love, the real lovers, the real fragrance, the real sense of touch, everything is there. So they're sitting there, and so now line three tells what now the vibhav is there, the stayrati is there, madharati, and the object of madharati, that's the stayvav, the heart of the sadhaka. He's in this mood of serving Radha and Krishna and their conjugal pastimes, and their stayrati with each other is conjugal lovers, Priyaji and Priyatam. And now that's the stayrati. Now next bhava is a vibhava. Vibhava means as two. It's the place and circumstance, situation, and the exciting, stimulating factors to excite and bring about the feelings in the heart and stir them and rouse them and move them. That's called udipana. The word udip, ut means up, like we say utam. Utam means top, utam. Or uto, in Hindi they say uto. Uto means rise, get up. Ut. So udit, like sudipta. So udipta means rising. The factors which make feelings rise and stimulate. Like there's Amavasya tonight, no moon in the sky, not very romantic. But come back in 15 days, the full moon is shining of the autumn season. Then you may think, maybe some romantic now. Something romantic. If there's at least a drop of romantic sentiments within your softened heart, which would be assumed being a human being. we're not tigers. We're human beings. So this is the Udipan, the Chandra, Purna Chandra. So the Vibhav, that's the Udipan, which is one aspect of Vibhav, and then Alamban. Alamban is the hero and the heroine and the players. So Radha and Krishna are there, and then who else is there? Then the Mandri is there, because this is the whole angle of vision. They're there. In this particular verse, unlike verse 260, which we discussed 2 days ago, there was a cooperation of Sakis and Mandris serving Radha and Krishna. And what we'll hear in the unfolding of this verse, there's only you and Radha and Krishna. Because oftentimes it's just like that. When you sit and do your puja, you're alone. You bathe your Thakurji, your Giriraj, your whomever. You bathe them, you dress them, you sing for them, alone. And or maybe across the hallway in some other apartment, some other Grihastha, he has his deity or her deity, Thakurji, and they're doing their own puja alone. So it's that, this is the microcosm and that's the macrocosm. The microcosm means a small sphere, and that's the big sphere, the transcendental realm. It's individual and personal here, and sadhaka rupa and sadhaka vesha, Krishna loves each and every one of us, and he has one form and one parakoshta and one area for every one of us. So it's that personal, one-on-one. Love is always one-on-one. It's not like, I love my mother, but all the boys in town, she's the mother for everybody. It's not like that. It's one-on-one. So this is the situation here in this particular verse. He's indicating that you're there, and what are you doing? Sukha sparshena amilata nayano shitam atulam. Shitam atulam. He's saying sukha sparshena amilata. He says that a very interesting way they describe by the touch, by the sukha sparsha nayano shitam atulam. Shita pain balm. Shita means cooling. We have in the Gita, Shita shna shukadukada. Matrasparsha sakonteya. Shita shna shukadukada. Ushna. Ushna means sun, hot. Shita means cooling. So we have to tolerate the heat and the cold. This is in basic Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2. Well, Shita means cooling. Shita atulam. So an incomparable atul means like tulsi, tul means to measure. Atula means incomparably cooling breeze is appearing there on the terrace of this Navalata Kunja, where Radha Madhav are reclining on the terrace. A very cooling breeze, and Sparshena, when it touches them, when that breeze touches their transcendental forms, then it says, Amilita Nayano, Sukha. They feel very happy. You feel very happy by the touch of that gentle, cooling breeze, especially when you're very, very hot. A cool breeze feels nice. And you go into a hot room in India, and the fan is not on, and it's a hot room, but you turn on the fan, and just some breeze blowing on your head, you feel like, oh, I'm still alive. Because some touch of coldness may touch your face and head and keep your head from burning off or blowing off due to the heat. So this is what we find in line 3 here. There's some breeze, and then it tells who, next line tells, I'm doing that. So what's happening here is the Manjari is seeing this is a wonderful service. Radha and Krishna are covered with perspiration from the intensity of their amorous affairs. And now they're relaxing. What they really need right now is a cool breeze. So then the Manjari, the very attentive and expert, the Daksha, the Chatur Paricharini, the very expert Manjari, she's fanning so nicely, fanning Radha and Krishna to refresh them. So that's in line 3. And what the point I made here in the notes, I said this is the Kinkari's Anukulya Seva. This is, of course, the principle of pure devotion. It should be favorable. Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karma adhyanavritam Anukulyena krishnanu shivanam bhaktarutama. Rupa Goswami Pad is telling in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, what is pure devotion? This is right in the beginning. It's actually not even a shloka. It's a Mangala Charana. It's a Mangala Charana, verse number 11. And Prabhupada, they printed long ago, archives, they printed something called Vintage Back to Godhead of Srila Prabhupada, his early writings before ISKCON in Hindi and Bengali. They're both inside the book. And when Prabhupada started Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he began by translating verse by verse, word for word, as he did in the Bhagavatam, in Gita, verse by verse, word for word. And he was going through, his desire was to go through each verse, because before him, he had already seen that his godbrother, Bhakti Ridoy Bhuan Maharaj, had published the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, first wave, Purva Vibhag, Eastern Division. It's a blue book. It was published in 1969. But he was working on it in 1966-68. And my Vaish Guru actually translated the Tikas, which I came to know. So Prabhupada knew that because Bhuan Maharaj he knew him in Vrindavan. They were both living there together at the same time. And they would often meet together also, little known to ISKCON in general. So Prabhupada, he also, like him, which that book is verse by verse, but it's only one wave, one part of Nectar Devotional, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Prabhupada did the complete summary as we know it today, Nectar Devotion. But his original intention was verse by verse, and that would have been wonderful. But so there, in that Bhakti Gaudiya Vintage book, they have about 11 or 12 verses, word for word, with Prabhupada's commentary. Fantastic. I gave class on Nectar of Devotion years ago, here in Kartik. It's all recorded on the net. And we read from Prabhupada's Tika about that, and so many other elaborations on the definition of what is pure bhakti. What is bhakti? We're bhaktas. We're following the tradition and the way of bhakti, the marg, the way of bhakti marg, the way of loving devotion. Ecstatic. It's supposed to be ecstatic loving devotion. Not static. Ecstatic. Static means... You turn on the radio, you're trying to get some radio station. Oh, what's wrong here? Oh, there's a lot of static. This is a term we use in English. I don't know about Russia or whatever. A lot of static and interference and disturbance in the line here. And can't get the... Wait. Oh, there, that's good. They don't even have buttons. They have buttons to hold it on the place, you know. Toot. 88.7. That's it, you know. So, static and then... dynamic. There's static. Static means not going anywhere, but making lots of noise. Making lots of noise, not going anywhere. Dynamic means Hare Krishna, also making a lot of noise, but going somewhere. Because you're chanting attentively, and you're chanting without offenses, and you're living a life without offenses. So then you're dynamic. But then hopefully the dynamism becomes ecstasy. So the dynamic expression and dynamic practice should become ecstatic devotional service. Static, not static. Static, dynamic, ecstatic. So strive. We're striving. Our prayojan, our necessity, and our goal is ecstasy, and only that. What is the goal of every materialist? Ecstasy. How does he find ecstasy? That's his individual definition. Some people find ecstasy by loba, pratishta, loba, puja. Some people find ecstasy by those things, being the most famous, the most wealthy, the whatever, big sports hero. But the general class of men, they try to find their ecstasy in the relationship between man and woman. That's purported to be the highest available bliss and happiness in the material world. So we are ecstasy seekers by nature. That is the nature of the human entity. So coming into spiritual life, why should we settle for less? We leave a world that pursues ecstasy to enter a world that has no ecstasy? Are you cracked? You leave a world, the material world, which promises ecstasy as its reward, to enter a world which has drudgery as its reward, has hackneyed life as its reward, has unhappiness as its reward. No, it's not like that. It's an ecstatic dynamic reality which we are to enter into. So there, Radha and Krishna, there you're there. So now in line 3, this is Anukulya Seva. The Mandri is fanning Radha and Krishna, but in such a favorable, because Anukulya, we said, Anyabhi Lashita Shunyam Jnana Karmadhyan Navritam Anukulyena Krishnanu Shilanam Bhaktir Uchate. That pure devotion means that it's Anushilanam. Anushilanam means your behavior, your conduct, your speech, and all your actions are done for Krishna. Krishna Anushilanam. Your character, your conduct, your behavior, your thinking, your feeling, your willing, your chanting, your hearing, your remembering, all for Krishna. Krishna. And then Anukulyena is done Anukulya. Anukulya means favor. Pratikula and Anukulya. These are the part of surrender also. Anukulyena Sankalpa, Pratikulyena Varjita. So Varjita means to reject, to throw away. Pratikul, that which is against Krishna, against his service, and against his happy mind. Anukulya means to make Krishna's heart sing, to make Krishna's face smile, to make Krishna happy. This is bhakti. Are we doing bhakti in such a way that Krishna will smile and be happy? This is Anukulya. So the Mandri, she's doing Anukulyena Seva. Kinkri's Anukulyena Seva, which is indicated by the words of this verse, Because you can fat, now you can serve prasadam, blah, 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 very haphazardly, very unmindfully, without any feelings, plop, plop. I can remember so many times getting my spoon of oatmeal in Los Angeles dropped on my wax paper. And it splatters up on my dhoti. Or what to speak on my karmic clothes. I'm going to the airport to sell books in 5 minutes. And my pants are covered with oatmeal. Thanks a lot, Bhakta Joe. Really appreciate it. very sensitive, careful, caring service. So it's not what you do, it's how you do it. So it's not what you chant, it's how do you chant your mantras, your diksha mantras, and not much. So how is it they're serving? They're serving, this mandri is serving in such a way, first of all, sukha sparshena, that the touch of this wind is very nice. It's not too forceful fanning, it's not too gentle, it's not too forceful. You ever hear of a ceiling fan? Speed 1. 2, 3, 4, 5. So you want different speeds according to how hot or what the circumstance is. So that's a mechanical arrangement. But what to speak, when you're fanning, how fast should I fan? What will please Krishna the most? What will make him happy? I'm fanning. Krishna, I'm going to take this. Like sometimes I've seen pujaris when I was in the Raman Reti side, sometimes I do the artik there. And they're fanning. I said, why are you fanning so hard? It's freezing cold outside, and they're going to get pneumonia the way you're fanning, you know. Where's your mind, you stupid? And the Vajari's going, because he's so passionate. Some young guy, you know, he's just like, ta, ta, ta. I said, do you know what you're doing? Do you know who you're fanning? That's the Supreme Personality of God and His loving consort, Radharani. It's just a little fan is required. It's very cool already. So mindless service. Heartless and mindless. This is a big problem. Bhakti means mind and heart fused together to love and serve Krishna with mind and heart. So this is done so nicely that sukha sparshena, they feel happy, sukh, anand, happy. I'm happy. I'm happy from the touch of this breeze. They're so happy that it says amilita nayana. It's a very interesting way in Sanskrit to say close your eyes. Nayana means, like we say, nayana biram. Nayana biram is, nayana means eyes, and abiram means very blissful, happy, satisfied eyes. We want to see eyes like that. We want to see Krishna's eyes. Once I asked a spiritual teacher, I said, how do we know that Krishna's pleased with our service? He said, you just look at him. Just look at the deity. Look at your Thakurji. And look at his face, and you can see if he's pleased or not. I said, okay, I'll work on that one. Are you pleased? can you show me some? I'm really pleased. Can you drop your flute and go like this, you know, thumbs up or whatever? So you will know, the devotee will know. It takes one to know one. So Krishna is the supreme devotee. No one's a greater devotee than Krishna. And he loves Radharani. He serves her feet like the greatest of devotees. So he feels like a devotee also. So then, this is a nice way of saying they close their eyes. It says, amilita nayana, means their eyes were not, Milan means to meet. Oh, Milan, Radha Krishna Milan. You must have heard this term, Milan. Means to meet, Milan. So amilita means the eyes were not meeting the objects of the eyes. When your eyes are open, your eyes are having Milan, they're meeting the rupam, the form of the objects of the world before your eyeballs. You open your eyes. So when you close your eyes, you have closed your eyes to perceiving the objects and people and things in front of your open eyes. Yeah? So this is amilita. It's so nice, Sanskrit. Like when they say sandalwood, they could say chandan. In Sanskrit, they can say chandan. Or they can say malayaja. Malaya is a group of mountains in Madhya or Uttar Pradesh or somewhere west. And so many sandalwood trees were growing there. Chandan. So Malaya Ja Of course, there's Malaysia. That's another place. There may be sandal there too. So many sandalwood trees were growing there that everyone knew that that term in Sanskrit 500 years ago meant born, ja, janma, Malaya-ja, from the Malayan hills. It's so nice. The Sanskrit is that many, many ways to describe the same thing. You'll see that throughout if you study the Shastra. So Shitala Matulam, this is very nice. I'm fanning it. If someone's really feeling happy, then they like close their eyes like a little pussycat, you know, a little pussycat when he's happy. You pet him and it closes his eyes. And you know, I mean, I don't have a pet cat, but we grew up on the farm and we know about, you know, everybody knows about these things. So this is the satisfaction. So this is Anukulya Seva that the Manjari has done. So that's what I'm saying, that Radha Madhava are happy, Sukha Sparshena, with the pleasant touch of the Manjari, or my expert fanning, Chaturyam Paricharini, means very expert, Chatur, very expert maidservant. And they are thrilled from the touch and they're relaxed in mind, resulting in the closing of their eyes, Amilita Nayanam. So if you want to have an experience of this, then go to some friendly cow in Vrindavan or Radhakund and you pet them. And they know if you love them and they know if you don't love them. So if you pet the cow very nicely, it says in the one Purana, trying to remember the name of it, Gotamiya, it's a tantra actually, Gotamiya Tantra, it explains that Gopal used to scratch the cows behind the ears in such a way they would feel very happy. He would very affectionately scratch the cows behind their ear. So having read that in Gotamiya Tantra, and when I go to the cows, I say, am I scratching you the way Krishna scratches you behind the ears? Are you happy? I'm trying to do this like Krishna does this. This is called bhav. It's called feeling. And that's what humans are supposed to be all about. Sensitivity and bhav. So that this is lovingly stroke or pet a cow, and you'll see that when the cow is really happy with your bhav, with your seva, that's called Anukulyena Seva. That's why I titled this note, Kinkari's Anukulyena Seva. First happiness comes. First comes happiness. And that's the vibhav, or the, and then the anubhav. What anu means follow. What follows that feeling? The feeling is happiness. This is how ras works. There's anubhav, and then if the anubhav is excessive, then sattvic bhavas and sanchari, all these things, they actually are very common sense and make a lot of sense if you understand it. You can also explain it. One follows the other. It's natural. First you get angry, then you cry. Or, you know, there's a sequence. Your mind has to get rattled. Your mind gets rattled. And then there's an anubhav. You say something, you get out of here. You know, this, it happened. We're experiencing ras and bhavas all the time in our social intercourse and dealings with one another. But when we see it analyzed and written down on a piece of paper, this part of your experience is anubhav and this part of your sthayibhav. Oh, it's so confusing. No, it's part of your working reality. You know, the husbands and wives and everywhere, friends and servants and masters. It's a lot easier to understand. So this is the symptom of this is anukulya. First the feeling comes, the sukha, the feeling. This comes in the hero and the heroine. It says here, sukha sparshena. They're happy from what? From the touch, sparshena, sparsh. From the touch of what? From the shitala tulam, the incomparable cooling breeze generated from your chamara as you're fanning them on the terrace, Alinde Kalindi, Navalata Grihe. You're fanning them and they're relaxing. So first the feeling comes, then that feeling in the heart creates some changes in the body. First the bhav of sukh, happiness, and then that bhav, anubhav, following that bhav is a change in the body. And in this case, the eyes close. And you start purring. You start, this is nice, nice. Just like a very hot day, you go to some cool lake, Kadamba, Kusum Sarovar, and you go inside, Or you're on Brijamandal Prikama, and you're going all these places, so hot. Okay, now at the end of Prikama, because whenever I led Prikama out, or ISKCON and Vrindavan, I always ended up with snan. We arranged it so we'd always end up somewhere taking bath, you know, Prem Sarovar, Radhakund here, whatever. So I said, okay, then we get to Prem Sarovar at the end of a hot, one of those hot, dusty, bumpy bus ride days in Vrindavan going to visit Leela Stala. You must have all experienced it, yeah? this is Prem Sarovar. Everybody, you know, dive in for the Prem, and everybody dives in, it's ice cold water. Everybody's feeling so good, so happy. So this is what happens. This is how we should do our seva. It should be anukulya, favorable, pleasing to the mind and senses, selfless, only for the happiness of Krishna, Radha and Krishna. So we're out of time, and we're over time, actually. And we have a class ourselves to attend now, and maybe you do too. And tomorrow we'll hopefully finish this verse 166 and continue with this discussion about the wonderful glories of Sri Radha and her manjaris. Jai Jai Sri Radhe, Jai Jai Sri Radhe, Jai Jai Sri Radhe. Let's take some prasadam. We're going to...